My Father, my God, we come to your presence. We bow in awe of you. Thank you for the privilege we have once again to share your word. As I come confessing my sins and I ask for fresh mercy. That you make me a faithful steward of the mysteries of the gospel. As we minister today, I pray, Lord, I duck under covering, that you cause your word to go out of me like streams of living water, to edify, to bless, to encourage your people. I also pray that as the word goes forth, Lord, let it bring forth life, deliverance, healing, Lord God. Let it meet every need, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened, revelation of what that goes forth today, and our emotions for that controlled and tempered by the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me to be constant and precise, not saying things that are necessary. Also ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, to come and glorify Jesus. Come and testify of him. Come to thank you and to give you all the praise and all the glory for all you will do in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. We've been in this book for some time now. And we thank God and give him glory for what God has been revealing to us, preparing us as a body for the imminent glory. That's what I can see thus far from the book of Timothy. It's an instructional book that Paul wrote to his son Timothy, and also by extension to those that were under him, and also applies to us as we go into the world today. So last time, we stopped in verse 14, and I just read this verse, you know, to try and round up what I said that day. So in verse 14, it says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive, not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. No. Now, Paul begins to tell Timothy, if you look at the previous verses, initially he was talking to Timothy. When he was talking about, he said, you know, the husbandman that labored shall be partaker of the first fruit. You know, then he now changed and began to give him instructions for those that were under him. And that's the thing he now said. He says, you remind them of these things. What things? We see these things in the book of Timothy, verses 11 to 13 of the same verse. Go to back up to verse 11. So these are the things that he began to tell Timothy, you know, to remind those that were under him. Starting from let's look at verse 8 first. Because you see, at that time, there was a lot of heresy being preached in the body of Christ, you know, that some people are preaching that the resurrection has already passed, and they overthrew the faith of some people. So he said, remind them of these things. That is, they need to be reminded so they don't forget. Because these things are foundational things of which if there is no foundation, you cannot build on. So one of us in verse 8, you know, he was telling Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. The last time we spoke extensively from this, when we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where we were saying that Christ was raised according to my gospel. It's a foundational doctrine. You see, without that is the heart of Christianity, like I said. You see, if you remove the heart of a person, the person will die. The heart stops beating. That is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ that gives life to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without it, then it's like any other dead religion. Praise the Lord. So the Torah says, you remind them of these things. And then the other things he spoke about that you remind them of, you find them in verses 11 to 13. He said, it is a fatal saying, but if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. This is said, you know, the Amplified Bible says, remind them of these facts. You see, these are things that we need to know as Christians. You know, so that we can wonder, look, if you don't die, you cannot live. Are you following me? So that's, I said, remind them, let them understand, because there are a lot of false doctrines that were going on then, and also, you know, that preach a cross without a crown. So I said, remind them of these things, that it is a faithful saying. Say, it is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also what? Live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. That's if we don't suffer. We're not talking about suffering sickness or disease. We're talking about suffering daily self-denial. That's how you can reign. And we spoke about that we're supposed to grow from servants to princes to kings, where we can now reign in life, you know, in Zoe. Praise the Lord. So say, if we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abided faith. We cannot deny himself, or he cannot deny his purpose. With the purpose of the body of Christ, when anyone says he cannot deny himself, what we are saying there in present day context is that God cannot deny his purpose for his body. He cannot change it at this time. He won't say, okay, because there's so much trouble now, let's round up this program without having a manifestation of the sons of God. He's not going to change his mind about that. I follow him. So it's very important. So he said, if we deny him, he said he cannot deny himself. Praise the Lord. So we need to have that at the back of our mind. God cannot deny a purpose for this church. It may look as if it will not happen, but brethren, it is surely going to come to pass. Praise the Lord. So he also said, solemnly charge them, you know, before the Lord. I find out that Paul always, you know, we need to get into the habit when we gather of always recognize that each time we gather and the word is coming forward from anybody, that we are actually in the presence of the Lord. You see, at times because we don't see him physically, I follow him. Some of us don't believe he's there. And the Bible states clearly, it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. When we start believing that, we start seeing a manifestation of the presence of God. We don't have to wait for something to happen like Ananias and Sapphira before we build out his presence. So he began to tell him, said, charge them. A charge is a solemn warning, a command. He said, charge them that what? In verse 14, he said, charge them that they strive not about what to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Let's read it in Amplified Bible. That verse in verse 14. What does it in Amplified Bible say? Remind the people of these facts. We've talked about the facts. You know, if you don't die with him, you can't live with him. Say, charge them in the what? In the presence of the Lord. To avoid, say, petty controversies over words, which does no good, but upsets and undermines the faith of the hearers. You see, many in the body of Christ today are distracted with things that are not important. You know, like in those days, the issue was circumcision. And Paul told him, say, look, circumcision or circumcision doesn't avail anything but faith toward God. There are many other distractions in the body of Christ, things that cannot promote godliness, that begin to waste people's time. And the church is immersed in that kind of doctrine. We have different doctrines today. I don't want to go to this. It won't be as if I'm talking about people that are in what, where. You know, they have a little bit of truth. I follow. But you see, they are a distraction. They are not the weightier matters of the law. Praise the Lord. So he says, you charge them that you should not waste time on things that are not important. Things that will affect their faith. On endless genealogies, you know, things that will be to make them doubt, you know, or like described by the Pharisees, you know, all the things that we'll bring up, you know, we'll see as we continue. Praise the Lord. And why is this so? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 says that, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. You see, if you don't have a vision, or let me say a roadmap, like mommy shared some time ago when she was sharing the prophetic word, you know, about having a compass. You see, in the natural, the compass is set to point toward the north. So that if you are going, let us say the north is towards this place, if you turn to this side, the compass will not follow you to turn. It will go this way. So you know that, look, this is not the right way. I'm supposed to go to this way. So also in Christianity, we do have a vision. We need to have a compass. We need to have a roadmap so that we don't miss road, as they say in our colloquial language. So we don't miss the way to our purpose and destiny. So don't get entangled with things that are not important. Eat this. Don't eat this. You know, eat pork. Don't. All those things are unnecessary distractions. They don't benefit. They don't help us to attain unto godliness or our purpose in Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's open to Romans chapter 16, verse 17. So that's why we have to be careful. You know, that we also, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, say, mark them, which cause what? Divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. So it is the doctrine is the issue here. Which you have learned, and what? Avoid them. You see, when you see somebody that is preaching heresy, things that are not true, things that are not important, Bible says avoid them. Say, mark them. You know, what is, you mark this person, or churches that preach things that are heresies, things that are, that can, you know, Bible says a little leaven at the whole lump. It's just, it's a little poison. It's not to kill somebody. If you're going to kill a rat today, you put rat poison on bread or food. It's just a little in there to kill that animal. So all these little doctrinal issues that are not important, you see, some people have built a whole doctrine on what to wear. Some people have built a whole doctrine on the blood of Jesus. You know, just take a little truth and then they turn aside from the truth. Praise the Lord. So it's important for us to avoid them. You know why? These doctrinal errors, they create doubt and unbelief in the people. And at the end of the day, we overthrow the faith of men. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So let's now read for today from 2 Timothy chapter 2, read from verses 15 to 20. Verses 15 to 20. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Like Pastor will say often, if you say rightly dividing, then you can wrongly divide. Praise the Lord. Verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You see, that is the end result of when you start going after things, doctrinal error. They will increase in ungodliness. I follow him. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If any man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying today? Paul began to tell not just Timothy, but the congregation. He said, study. He didn't say read the Bible. It's good to read your Bible every day. But he said, study. Like somebody that if you go to university, you know, tertiary institution, you say, what course did you study? So you see, this is talking about getting a spiritual education. Are you with me? It says, study to show yourself. You will have been good to say, study to show yourself approved unto pastor. But it's saying that God is the one that will come and mark you as your examiner. So it says, study to show yourself approved unto who? God, not man. As what? A workman. Say a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly divided, just like you go into a university and you are not ashamed to say, I'm studying medicine. Say, rightly divided, I'm not ashamed. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. Many people are ashamed of this gospel today. I don't want to go to it because that's not my message for today. But we must not be ashamed of writing the same way you stand in your faculty and you read a term paper or whatever, and people will clap for you that you have done excellently well. The same way you should be able to stand before people and declare the whole counsel of God. It should be a shame on you if you can succeed in your academic life and you don't know this Bible. It should be a shame on you. As a Christian, yes, it should be a shame on you. That is misplaced priority. Even though we need a secular education to be able to accurately, understand the Bible, we need the education to be able to read and write. But apart from that, you see, you should know your Bible far more than you excel in your physical, in your secular field. Yes, so. If you believe that this Bible contains everything that's with your life, that is the word of God. But say that the heavens were created by the word of God. This same word. The Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away. Your physics, your biology, your medical science, they will pass away. But this word will never pass away. You're not going to need medicine in heaven. There's no lawyer in heaven. I'm telling you, I must say we don't excel in the physical field. But see, don't let us put the cart before the horse. It's very important we set that ahead of time. And we must not miss words about it. Go and read in your Bible. This Stephen, in the whole of, I think it's in Acts chapter 7. That man spoke, he expounded the scriptures from the Old Testament to the New. And I can't remember the verses. He started talking about when they came out from Egypt. He expounded the scriptures and he was just a deacon. He wasn't a pastor. Deacon. And he took the whole Bible, took it apart. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they were wondering. He said they wondered at the words that came out from his mouth. By the time the guy finished, they didn't know what to do. The Bible says his face shone as an angel. That was Stephen. He wasn't a pastor. So don't say, I'm not a pastor, so I don't know the Bible. So all you know is healing scriptures and prosperity scriptures. You don't understand, my friend. Your whole destiny, your whole life is hidden in the scriptures. When you begin to understand, I'm just beginning to understand myself. I'm amazed at the way God speaks to me at times. The scripture will just jump. I say, wow. You see, we need an understanding. We cannot overemphasize, understanding the scriptures. Especially in this day that we are in. Because the Bible says, not one jot or tittle or three words shall pass away or until all be fulfilled. Everything is going to be fulfilled. Let's continue. We'll see as we continue. So, let's read Amplified Bible. Where it says, in verse 15, in the Amplified Bible, what does it say? Study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God. Approved. Say approved. That means it's possible not to be approved. Now see how you're going to be approved. Tested by trial. Tested by trial. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed. You don't need to be ashamed about you're a Christian. Why are you ashamed? He said, if you are ashamed of me, he said, I'm going to be ashamed of you that day. Says, who needs to be ashamed? correctly analyzing, correctly analyzing. You know, when you go to laboratory and begin to analyze, you know, you begin to take data and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Said approved, tested by trial. Why tested by trial? Because the word of God will always be tried. Persecution and affliction will arise for the word's sake. Psalm 12 verse 6. He says the word of God is pure, are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth. Purified seven times. That is the word you are carrying. So that word inside you will be tried. Say the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth. Purified seven times. So you can now understand what happened to Joseph. Psalm 105 verse 19. He had a promise from the Lord. The Bible said the words of the Lord. No, please. Psalm 105 verse 19. Until the time that his word came. Say until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord, the word tried him. It wasn't Potiphar's wife that was trying him. It wasn't his brothers that were trying him. It was the word of God that was trying him. Do you believe or you don't believe? The word of God wants you to believe when you get a revelation of, I'm not talking about head knowledge now, of the word of God, either it's prosperity or healing, the enemy will kick up dust, then that one will try you. So as it is trying the word, it's trying you to, you are going to that furnace of fire, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So you come out as gold. He said, go, he try me. He said, I'll come forth as gold. That's what Job said. So the word of God will be trying you in any way. Please be encouraged. Stay with the word. It will not pass away. It will surely come to pass. You'll be in high of healing, but of health. Just stand your ground on the word. Don't give up on the word. We are not of them that draw ground onto perdition, but to believe on ourselves. So currently, the body of Christ, the word of God has been tried concerning perfection and the manifestation of the glory of God. Believe me, guys, that is what is going on now. Are you going to believe? Are you not going to believe? This is what is doing, this is what is separating now the boys from the men. So God told Moses, he said, put a veil between the holy place and the most holy place. He said it will separate the holy place. It is the veil, the flesh that is going to separate those that believe and those that don't. Because if you believe, you will deal with the flesh. The flesh, the veil speaks of the flesh. So he's trying now. And you have people like he said in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says that knowing that first there shall be what? Scoffers in the end time. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 3. Peter was talking. We are in the end time, folks. And he said, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Next verse. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue. And they are from the beginning, as they were from the beginning of the creation. A lot of that is going on in the body of Christ today. This perfection thing, this glory, we are behind it. But in days of weakness, what we are behind it. The glory of latter half, we are behind it. Brother, the word of God is trying you. Are you going to stay in prison for 2 more years and allow God to call you out? Or you are going to compromise with Potiphar's wife? It is trying also. But we must make up my mind that I must be faithful. He said, therefore, hasten unto the coming of the Lord. So for the coming Lord draweth nigh. That is what is trying the body of Christ today. And is separating people. The wheat from the chaff. Those that believe from those that don't believe. Praise the Lord. So God is the one, like I said, that will determine those that are approved and those that are disapproved. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 19. 1 Corinthians 11 19. It's God that will determine it. We see how he's going to do it. Before men, you can be approved. You can quote scriptures. But when the fire tries you, they will know of what sort you are made of. So for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved what might be made manifest. So why is God allowing this delay? It is so that we can see those are approved. You know why did, look at this, just comes to my root and what's her name? Upper. The word of God tried them. So the initial thing was that, don't worry, go back. They said, don't worry, we'll follow you. It would have been okay, but then they pushed the thing further. I said, look, guys, I don't have anything to give you. Even if I give back to children now, will you marry them? I said, not possible. Immediately, when that, he said, it's like this thing will not happen again. No, let me just go back. So, but the mistake she made was this. By going back, either to go and marry, she went back to her gods. That was the mistake that she made. The same temptation, the same questions are asked. And one went back. This perfection is not possible. Many have gone back today to their idols, covetousness in the body of Christ. Leaders and saints. They've gone back. I know people, folks, I won't mention names, that they've preached this thing. They've gone back. So sorry to say. The Bible says, like a dog that goes back to his vomit. I say, if I therefore destroy what I built, said I'm a transgressor. Hard is the way of transgressors. You preach that this thing is possible. You've expounded to people. It is like John the Baptist when he said, are you the one to come, or should we expect another? What happened to John the Baptist? Let me put it in a nice way. His authority, his head was taken off. We have a program based on God's timing. We need to get to the promised land. Anybody else like that says like Korah and whatever and say, let us go back to Egypt because there is a delay. Know what God did to them? The ground swallowed them up. Praise the Lord. Let's continue. So I said to study is to get a spiritual education. Pastor has taught us, please get the weekly rema. Spiritual education is very important. I can't go into it today because of time. To study is to meditate, to think deeply, to ponder upon the scriptures, to fix the mind closely upon. We're not talking about Bible reading here. We're talking about meditating in the word. Study. When you go in university, you go and do research. You go and collect different papers. You know, you check. And it is as you do that, that God will now begin to talk to you. But I'm now going to build on the foundation of other people. You read about David here. You listen to what pastor has taught. You listen to what mommy has shared. What papa Rav has shared. What different people have shared. I'm talking about true seasoned ministers of God. That's how you study. You begin to compare notes. The God now begins to add more. Add this to you. But you build. That's how you study. Reading is just carry your Bible money and then you read. People read in the secondary school that did religious knowledge. Where did they get them? When talking about reading, it's good to read for information. You need that. But you see, after you read that, you now take the personal study. You cannot take the daily rema. Now begin your study from that. They now open the scriptures. You open, you check. Like the Berean Christians. The Bible says that, listen to me, it said that they went back. I'm amazed at it. He said they went back and they searched the scriptures. Why? To know whether the things whether Paul has said are true. And God put it as scripture. God did not say, because it is Paul, don't go and check. Scripture. God did not say, because it is Paul, don't check. No. He said they searched the scriptures to see whether the things that Paul has said were true. And God put it as scripture. This is the man that wrote over half of the New Testament. Yeah, God was not angry for them to go and check whether the things that Paul said. You see, it depends on how you are checking. If you are checking to criticize, then you won't get anything. But if you are checking to see what this man has shared is awesome, then God will show you light. Saying there in your light, we see light. Praise the Lord. So it's a workman. It involves spiritual work, spiritual labor. But the Bible says that, Lord, count them worthy of double honor that labor in the world. It takes labor. You can meditate. There are people in the seminary. They meditate. You see them. They walk, you know, like this. They'll be walking. But yeah, there's no revelation knowledge. It's not that kind of talk about. This kind of study involves prayer in the spirit. You know, Isaiah says, with stammering lips and other tongue, we just speak to them. Say, here a little, there a little. Are you following me? He said, yeah, they will go forth and fall. Fall to like a snare. That is, it's not just when you are studying, you are praying in tongues. You see a word, and so said to Mika. Then you stop. Why is it say this to this? I didn't say this to this. Then begin to pray. Then as you are reading your Bible, you see a name in the Bible. Then the Holy Spirit will say, stop, go and check the meaning of that name. And say, this is what it means. Wow, so this meaning has a meaning. Then you read again, so happened. This one, you know, that's how you study. Then you are praying in the Spirit. Then you pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. You pray for it, give me. That means if you don't ask, you can't be given. It says ask, you are given. So you ask daily, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. The eyes of my understanding, being flooded with light. That's how you study. Then you also pray with travail. Because it's travail that takes you from the holy place to the most holy place. In the holy place, you get revelation, like you get showbread through the candlestick. But in the most holy place, there is what is called hidden manna. So it is travail that is going to take you across into the veil. That's when you now begin to see hidden things that people can't see. The guy in the outer court cannot see it. The guy in the holy place can never see it. That's why you don't argue with them. You just keep eating your daily manna. We'll see when it appears. So praise the Lord. So say correctly analyzing, accurately dividing, rightly handling, and skillfully teaching. So apart from accurately dividing it, he also says that you must skillfully teach the word of truth. Folks, I thank God for Pastor, I thank God for Mommy. You see, those things that are condensed in that love book, my God, it's not flattery. I know by experience, it's not flattery. I don't flatter people again, lest my maker take me away prematurely. That's what the Bible says. I don't flatter. I'll tell you truth as it is. If you don't tell truth, I'll just keep quiet. I won't go there. That little book you are holding in your hand is condensed. It is, let me summarize. It is like Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In between is so much that I can't handle. I can, if you start studying that thing today, before the end of the year, you still cannot fully grasp the truth that is hidden in those things, those scriptures that are there a little. That's why we'll add this one to this. Join this one to this. I choose the fear of God. In fact, I can tell you that if you don't go back, when I joined scripture, pastor, I had to go back to go and look for, because it's what you're looking for that God will bring. I will pray. I say, God, I heard about this now. Pastor talked about how can I get it? To God who made me. People come and give me tips without me asking them. You just say, God said, I should give you these tips. About conventions that have passed. That gave me an understanding of where we are today. You go and look at it. How did they get the life and pass scriptures? You know, I can't remember. You know, when it talks about the word quicken me. You go and look back at those things. So what you have on your lap, that little book, or the practical guide to prayer, there's a life laid down back in it. There's a life laid down back in it. To dig out what you read and then you bind the devil and then you get the answer. No. Pastor was saying those days to pray from life scriptures, you open to Psalm 119 and then we'll draw life. Can you imagine you are still doing that one today? That is why, now understand why the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. It's not because the latter house is better or because they know. No, folks, don't be proud. If David had not laid up the things for Solomon to build, I give him the pattern. Can Solomon build the temple? We need to talk to this generation who feel they know everything. It's arrogance and pride. If David did not lay up those things, the money, the everything, the stones, and then he got the pattern and then he gave it to Solomon. Solomon could not have ever built the temple. How would he build the temple? Like Bamboo would say, you stand on the shoulders of those that have gone ahead of you. They are the ones that stood in the Jordan. Firm. The Bible said they stood firm in the Jordan. He said those that carried the ark on their shoulder, the four priests. He said they stood firm in Jordan. He said they stood in Jordan, that Jordan parted two ways. For all the guys coming to cross. So the fact that who got in the promised land first? The people carrying the ark or those that cross? Those that cross. So the fact that you enter the promised land and begin to taste of the good of the promised land, and those that are still standing in the gap, they are still standing. Why are they still standing? Because if they don't stand, Jordan will close. Because you have not learned to crucify the flesh yet. Jordan is a place of death to the flesh. So when they stand every morning, shoulder to shoulder, they don't break rank. You wake up, you are walking through Jordan and you are eating. Then you cross over. But notice, these are not in my notes. I'm just talking by the Spirit. You notice, they had to pick the stones that caused Jordan to part. Those are the stones that we are standing upon. He said, take the stones from where you are standing upon. And then he took 12 stones, which speaks of comments. And then he took it to the other side. And then they said they laid them for a memorial. For generations coming to see that when they crossed Jordan, it was on these stones that they stood upon. Revelation, knowledge that they got in the place of dying daily to self. That was why Paul said. He said, wow. He said, we apostles, I'll set forth as unto, I can't remember now. He said, unto, he said, as apostles, I set forth as last. He said, now you are filled. You are full. He said, you are bound now. He said, be ye enlarged. He said, we are not constricted in our hearts. He said, be enlarged in your heart. He was telling them, the Corinthian church, like most of our youth today, they are so arrogant. They feel they have everything because they've gone to school. And they are making more than their father is making. So their father can't talk to them again. Yes, it's happening. What do you know? Tell him to pray. He will not pray. He will argue with you that groaning is not possible. That it's not the will of God. It's not your fault. Better learn to use those stones before Jordan closes. I won't say more than that. Let's continue. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? Why do we need to do these things? It's the opposite of not rightly dividing the word. It's wrongly dividing the word. And it's because there are a lot of people out there that are wrongly dividing the word. Like one man will say, the Pied Piper of Amaline. He's blowing his trumpet today. And some people are following him. No! Our seed will not follow them in Jesus' name. Yeah, they will hear the true prophetic voice. Not this one that come and preach heresy. Are you following me? That mortgage. I call them the Esau ministry. That forsaking their birthright. I say the profane ministries. So what are we saying? Ephesians 4:14 says that from henceforth there will be no more children. So it's children that are tossed to and fro. Carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftsmen, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, I don't blame the people of God per se. You know why? That's why honesty of heart is very important. For you to learn to stay under authority. Is it covering? I keep saying it. Not in covering. Maybe we hate to hear the word covering. But you better learn to stay under covering. You know why? Because there's a lot you don't know there. When you go out, they will bamboozle you and you will not know. And you think it's God. And they will confirm it with signs and wonders. You may not know until Christ comes in this study and say, depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. You say, eh? So this man that was raising the dead was walking iniquity. Eh? Like this guy, Simon the sorcerer. He said he was deceiving people. He stood fast by one guy. I forgot his name. In the book of Acts. One governor. Until Paul saw him. Said, thou child of the devil. He said, from you will not see for a season. Then he changed the whole atmosphere in that place. We are going to see more of that in this day. We need to see. You know, because it is Satan. Pastor preached a message years ago. You know, about wicked spirits in heaven. They are the one. The Bible talks about the dark prince of devils. They are the one that they get this doctrine together. Then they look for vessels that have refused to do all the will of God. Stood up stubbornness and rebellion. Then he creates a portal, their heart, for them to preach their message and then back it up with the word. That's why we are today. But Mike, my God, what will remove them? The same way Saul went, they are going to go. You know why? Because we are, how can a 11-day journey become 40 years? Kill and woe. What are we looking at? And you are saying that God is no one. It is mercy that will remove them. We are going somewhere, folks. We are already running late. If you are playing a football match, I don't care who the captain is. If you receive, he obey the instruction of the coach and the technical advisor, they will remove him. Are you going to beg and say, no, please don't remove him. Don't remove him. Then you are ready to lose the match. They will take his bishopric. They will take his captain's band. Give it to somebody else who will do the job. Yes, sir. And I says, in place of your father, I will give you children, your sons, who are make Lord over the heart. We have come to a place whereby we are moving from the time of Moses to the time of Joshua. It is Joshua that is going to enter the promised land. Yes, the Joshua generation. In the life of Moses, Moses will be begging them. He was saying, Lord, don't kill them. Kill me. No, Moses said, kill them. Joshua said, kill them. Don't kill me. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. If you like, don't serve the Lord. A difference in ministry. Why? Because the time is short. You can't stop begging people to come to church. God has to remove them. Say, before your pots can fill the tongues, it will take them away in its wrath. Then shall the righteous know the vengeance of the Lord. I shall rejoice. You see this end time message? The master preached a message in Isaiah 61. He said, the Spirit of the Lord upon me. He read it in Luke. But he left out a part. The day of vengeance of the Lord. Every scripture will fulfill. That is the day we are in. So either you say yes or no, it will come to pass. Just make sure you are on the Lord's side. So, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 9. I said Satan is the one behind this thing. Proverbs 30 verse 9, it says, the way of a serpent upon the rock. That's what about Satan the serpent. The way he can handle revelation. I will bamboozle you. And you won't know. And you won't know. You won't know. Talk about the way of a serpent upon the rock. If you see a serpent going on the rock, I'll bamboozle you. Let me start an example. Time has gone. I'll stop when it's time to stop. You see, when I first got born again, about I was 6 months old in the Lord, we are told to start obeying instruction. Pray. If you are going to get married, you pray 1 hour every week, 1 hour every week, and all that. I was praying one day. Then I heard a voice. I was in my room. I saw lightning flash. And then this voice came and said, it is not my will for you to marry. You are saying, I didn't know. I was about 6 months old in law. I said to myself, why would I marry? What kind of burden is this one? You know what he told me? He said, don't you know that that is why Adam made a mistake? It was Eve that made him make a mistake. I said, Otomani. He said, what about Abraham? Isn't this Sarah that put Abraham in trouble? I said, yes. So he was quoting scripture from me. I said, yes. So me more. He said, yes. So he said, that is why. That's why I told Paul not to marry. So we'll bring Nicoba. That's why he said he finished his course. That's Satan. I didn't know. But all I knew was that run to go and meet your overseer. So I ran very early in the morning. What kind of person is it? I ran to Pastor Larry. Then he was staying. They were saying, oh, Pastor, me, Olakamp was saying, Pastor. I said, Pastor Larry, I had a revelation. Please, I don't understand this one. You are laughing. You are laughing. That is why you need covering. So because he quoted that scripture for me, and everything he said was true. As God said, that's what he told Eve. And then he introduced doubt. And then at the end of Pastor Larry, he said, don't worry, it's Satan. Don't worry. He told this how he behaves. He did this before. Blah, 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 blah. I said, what would have happened to my lovely wife? Can you imagine? Let's get back to the word. You see, that's what Satan will do. He will omit it. He will twist the scripture. You won't know. He will come and tell you, you don't have to be rich. Haven't you read the Bible that money is root of all evil? It will take away love. Then you'll be going around, they'll be giving you some person. No, I'm a backslider. That's what in Kotokoba Solomon, yeah. Are you Solomon? Why can't you be Abraham? I said, the glory of another house shall be greater than the former. I will fill this house with glory. So, it's very important for us to know those things. Why have I said all that? Please, as you are trying to divide the world, stay under covering. Don't go to the field of the fatherless, where they will teach you the wrong thing. Where you'll be using mantle and anointing oil. You see, they will take the truth and push it, pull it beyond normal. And then you come back with head full of anointing oil, yet nothing happens. You only come back with covetous spirit. And then you begin to trouble Israel, like Achan. So I put it as a shallow understanding of the scriptures can lead to error. Matthew 22 verse 29, the Sadducees. They didn't understand. Jesus Christ told them. He said, you because not knowing the scriptures and the power of God. Say that again. I was telling you, he says the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees believed in resurrection. Are you with me? So they came to Jesus Christ. So he said, there is this woman. He married one person. This one died. He married one person. This one died. And the seventh one. Now one two died. So who's going to be the husband in heaven? All the answer was in the Bible. But they didn't know. Because their heart was not right. They were not asking the question. Jesus Christ told them, said, and answered and said to them, ye do not know what the scriptures, nor the power of God. So you can see for us to rightly divide the word. You may know the scriptures, but know the power of God. The Holy Spirit now begins to divide. Let's talk about the sword of the Spirit. Praying always. That's how you divide. God now tells you, take the little thing. Jesus Christ, I shared the other, just a few minutes ago. He read it. He knew this is where my own is supposed to stop. That the rest is vengeance is for the end time church. He came and said, let us go here. Pray for this woman. He said, no. I'm only sent to lordship of the house of Israel. How did you know? In the word. You know, it wasn't time for him to go to the Gentiles. If you don't study, you won't know. So it is as we study and pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation from Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. And we also pray in tongues and groanings that God begins to unveil the truth of the word to us. By revelation, I'll begin to discover. Three things we discover. The treasures of wisdom and understanding in the scriptures. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Colossians 2, 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and all the everything that you have stored in university, they are hid in the scriptures. You can't see it by reading, just by surface reading. Those that are now beginning to teach you. The Bible says that we said, our wisdom was by him when he laid the foundation of the heart. He didn't say your physics book was there. He didn't say your geography book was there. He said, our wisdom. He said, I was with him when he laid the foundations of the earth. And he laid the boundary that the water should not pass this thing. It took them years. They were killing people. If only I read Isaiah chapter 40, that God sits upon the circle of the earth. They thought the earth was square, that if you go too far, you will fall down. In him I hid. Say, oh. It's a result of wisdom and knowledge. Marketing, physics, geography, whatever that hid there. That's why the end time church is going to be wonderful. We have to arise and shine. We have to let them know that they don't know anything except they come to God. Say, there are people, you say, they will come in chains and they will bow down and say, surely God is indeed. With the ability of the mind of Christ. Without the autistic side to it. Pastor has thought of. Then the second thing, that the divine plan for our lives is hidden in types and shadows with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. Colossians 3:3 says, for you are dead. Say, you are dead. Dead is not physical dead. Don't be afraid. You are dead to the world. That's what he's saying. So if you don't die to the world, you cannot see. Say, and your life, your new life is hid with Christ in God. Revelation chapter 22 verse 19 says, if any man will take out of things, he says, his own past shall be taken away. He started listening from the book of life, from the holy city, about things which in the book. Everyone has a part in this book. I know. I feel like shouting. I know. I see more about myself daily. So I'm no more walking in darkness. It's getting clearer. I'm not there yet, but it's getting clearer. Getting clearer by the day. Write the vision. Make it plain. So when somebody comes to you and proposes to you, you will know, this one will cut it. Not that you are proud. You can already discern. That is what God is. Can you imagine somebody you are going to promised land? And somebody says, no. After we marry, we are going back to Egypt. You already know. Don't you know? Somebody comes to you and is not willing to change. You say, our destiny is go to heaven. Just to die and go to heaven. Then, if it's a woman, go and marry the thief on the cross. My own is not to go to heaven now. I want to fulfill purpose and destiny. I have a course that I'm running. I must finish my course. Praise the Lord. Very important. As I said, you limit your ability to fulfill your prophetic destiny due to the lack of in-depth study of God. So Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts 22. What does it say? And now, brethren, I want to read to you. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to what? The word of his grace, which is able to what? Build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. It is the word that will give you an inheritance. Don't play with it. Don't play with the Bible. Meditate. Pray over it. I'll begin to open the scriptures to you. Number 3 says, to overcome heresies and doctrinal errors in this end time. The other thing I want to say, I said God is one that will make the approval. How does God show approval? How is he going to show approval in this end time? The approval will be shown to those that rightly divide the word in this end time through the manifestation of the Spirit without measure. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, was rightly divided the truth of the word of God from, let's say, about the age of 12 to the age of 30. There was no manifestation of the Spirit of God. When he got to Jordan, God baptized, when he was baptized in Jordan, he came out, the Spirit of God rested upon him. Immediately when he went to and came back, he went to the beginning and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He already divided. He said, and anointed me. So what does he say? Say, ye men of Israel, hear these words, church. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved, say approved of God among you by what? Miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. We're not talking about what we have seen. We don't describe what we have seen. We're talking about the manifestation of the glory of God. The glory of a latter house. The one that virtue will go out and will heal multitudes. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the spirit with measure. We're talking about the spirit with measure. That's what God has proved him. So that's the approval we're talking about. Not the approval of the spirit with measure. You can have that because in those days, the bread that they put, the two-wave loaves that they wave during the Passover had leaven in it. We're talking about a loaf that doesn't have leaven. I'm talking, from times and chapters in the Bible. This is what we're talking about. The spirit without measure. Praise the Lord. So let's run. Let me round up. Verses 16 and 18. I will stop by the grace of God. There's so much to say. But in Amplified Bible. So Paul began to say, but avoid all empty, vain, useless idle talk, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. So you can see now, you're supposed to be godlike. But listen to this, don't say it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. It's going to lead you away from being like God, which is your destiny. Next verse. And they are teaching with devour. Say devour. Who is the devourer? Satan. So he's the one behind those teachers. And we eat his way like cancer or spread like gangrene. So it is with Hymenaeus and Philetus. He said it will spread like cancer. What is God trying to tell us? You see, when you start listening to those things, it's going to lead to, it's a terminal spiritual disease. That person will die spiritually. That's what cancer does. The person begins to feel weak, can't eat again. Doesn't have desire for the strong meat of the word. They have to feed him with drip in the natural. Feeding on milk alone. And after some time, the person spiritually is the same thing. That's why I use that example. He said, wheat like cancer or gangrene. It will spread. Such is the message we hear today, the golden calf messages. Most of the motivational messages we hear are like this. They omit the weightier matters of the law. And they breed covetousness. But the Bible says, godliness is profitable unto all things. It's leading you away from godliness. It says, it's profitable to all things. Having the promise of life that now is and that which is to come. Verse 17. Yes, we've read verse 17. Let me stop here. Because time has gone. So why did he mention Hymenaeus and Philetus? Because they were false teachers. They were preaching that the resurrection is past. At that time. We have the same false teachers today. Are you following me? They twist the word of God. It's way of a serpent upon a rock. They remove the weightier matters of the law. They can preach the same message of perfection. You hear it, but they will omit the self-denial. They will say, you can come and say, ah, it is true. We have end time revival coming. The glory of God is about to manifest. But for you to enjoy that glory and for you to get that double portion, do you remember what Elijah said to the widow woman? Go and give me first. So go and bring everything you have. You see, you are swerved. So if you don't, obviously they will develop itching ears in the end time. Are you with me? That will not be a portion you're saying. So the effect on the body, like I said, is terminal death, at the end of spiritually speaking. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. 1 Timothy 1, verse 20. What does it say? He was talking about this same guy. See what he did. So, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto what? Satan. Whom I have delivered unto what? Satan. That they may learn not to blaspheme. God is going to deliver them to Satan. Believe me. It's this one. It's not time. He just said they may learn. So, if they are still going to learn, that means the way of escape for them. But like that boy in Corinth, he said, deliver them to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That the spirit will be saved in the day of the Lord. So God is going to deliver them to Satan. Are you following me? At the end of the day, folks, when we enter this promised land, you're only going to Joshua, a type now, and the younger generation. So you either make up your mind to be a Joshua generation. Joshua, are you following me? Like Simon and Anna and the younger generation. Those are the ones, prophetically speaking, that will enter the promised land. And I believe that by the grace of God, we are going to be part of that Joshua end time generation. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Let's ask God for mercy. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. We have been taught excellently by our parents in this house. In fact, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. Nobody here can say, I don't know. I can't say, I don't know. I know. I'm begging God every mercy. Let me to be faithful. Let me to be faithful. It is clear. Do this, so and so. Do this four times daily. Do this. So what is the problem? We're not the only ones. But when the first of the first fruits emerge, you should be part of it. We will not be ashamed in Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. Oh, why I love thy word. It is my meditation. Once again, thy word is so. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet,
in the light
and a light unto my path.
Thy word, O Lord,
thy word is my bread, by thy word shall I live. Just came to me. I want to pray from it. Mommy has been sharing recently about praying for wisdom. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. You see, wisdom is light. Are you with me? Wisdom is light. When you have light, then you're no more walking in darkness. We need light. So God dropped the scripture about blind Bartimaeus. We need to know what we are asking for. I believe this is what God wants to pray about now. It just came to me now. We need to pray. Blind Bartimaeus was shouting, say, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. There were many things that probably were his problem. But the one thing that was important for him was for his eyes to be opened. And the issue is this, when he's not on his eyes open, he could not follow him. Why are not many people following the Lord Jesus? Why are not many walking the steps of his anointed? Because they can't see it. He said, Lord, just as he said, what with thou that I do unto thee, Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. Verse 43, I'm looking from Luke chapter 18. So you can see the consequence of receiving your sight. Don't ask for money, please, now. Once you can see and you follow the way, it's like seeking for the kingdom. All those things will be added. Luke, it's in Luke chapter 18, verse 40. It starts on verse 38. I don't want to waste time. He said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Luke 18, 41. Say that verse 40, and said, Jesus stood and commanded him. He's commanding us today to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Ask to receive your sight. It's the same like Solomon asked for. He said, give me wisdom. Wisdom is light. And what happened? Lord Jesus Christ said, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. Verse 43. Say, and immediately he received what his sight. What the consequence of receiving his sight? And he followed him, glorifying God and all the people. When they saw it and gave praise unto God. So folks, put one hand to God, your heart. Is that one hand to heaven? Say, Lord, Son of David, have mercy upon me that I may receive my sight. Wherefore I pray, please give me afresh and increasingly the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the present complete knowledge of you. The eyes of my understanding being flooded with light, that I may know better what is the hope of your calling upon my life. The riches of the glory of your inheritance in me as a saint, and the exceeding greatness of your resurrection power in Christ, me what do believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ Jesus when you raised him from the dead. Receive your sight in Jesus' name. Let's pray in the spirit. In Jesus' name, in the song we are just singing, that I'm going down. He said he followed him.
Now shall we know, as we follow on to know.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Going forth is like the morning.